don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for his skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, and the cloud, their silver line, there the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow
Church, I just want to say that we should be praising God for the blessing of this church family. I grew up here and have many, many fond memories here. I got to see God work and do things here in this congregation, and see how He brought this church through so much and how He used this church. And church, you ought to be thankful for your pastor too. In this day and time, it is imperative that the people of God are listening to a man who is called of God, and your pastor is certainly that. And I'm thankful for you, Pastor Steve, and your family. I love you guys so much. Well, Riverside Baptist Church, homecoming is here again. How many years is it, Steve? Do you?
A lot.
A lot. It's 90 plus, I know that. I don't know exactly. Over 100, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, it depends on how far you go back.
Right, yeah.
With the combination of churches and then it became
Riverside. Right.
In 19th,
yeah. Yeah. What, at North Canton, we're going to be having our 99th homecoming this year. And we're so blessed for that. But you, Riverside Baptist Church, over 90 years, what a blessing. What a blessing indeed. And it is a testament, Riverside, not to you or to those before you, but to the faithfulness of a God who sent His Son to die on a cross, to save people, and to use them for His glory. And so as we are looking at God's Word today, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll be starting in verse 9. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. I love the book of Romans. It is a powerful book. It's a deep book. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached 31 messages out of the first chapter alone. That's not a testament to his intelligence, but it's a testament to the depth at which you can plumb God's Word and still not even scratch the surface. So let's begin with the reading of God's Word. I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant Word. The Bible says this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, open our minds that we may understand, and, O God, open our hearts that we may obey what thus says the Lord today. Thank you for this church. Father, thank you for the great privilege to have been a part of this church for many, many years and sat under the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you so much for what you have done in and through your people. And, God, we give you praise in advance for what you will do in and through your people in the years to come. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, change and transform us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I was thinking about preaching homecoming today and considering the testimony of the history of this church, and I started to think about the faithfulness of a church, and how a faithful church is dependent on faithful believers. And the key to being a faithful believer is this: to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we are filled with the Spirit when we are yielded to Him. So this morning, I would ask you, I would, from based on the authority of God's Word, call you to please yield this morning. Now, as we consider this great truth, this great privilege that we have, if we are in Christ, that we are filled, we are indwelt with the Spirit of God, and we need to understand and establish, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. He's not a force. He is not a phantom. He is not just some ethereal experience that we can experience, but He is a person. He is God. And so when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are filled with God, and it will show through us. And I want to look at four things that we see happen when we are yielded to the Spirit. So when we yield to the Spirit, the first thing that we see that Paul is teaching the church is that He takes us out of the flesh. Look at verse 9 again. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." You look at that one word, "in." What that word is communicating to us is that it's speaking about a position. It speaks about whether or not you are where you are positionally. And there are two great opposing positions that are defined by one thing: whether or not you have the Spirit of God. And those positions are either you are in the flesh or you are in the Spirit. You are in the flesh or you are in Christ. These are two opposing positions defined by this truth, whether or not you have the Spirit of God. If we have the Spirit, we are not in the flesh. If you are in the flesh, you don't have the Spirit. I don't know how to make it any more simple. The Word of God is clear. If you are in the flesh, then you are not in the Spirit. But if you are in the Spirit, then you are not in the flesh. And if we do not have the Spirit, then we do not belong to God. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." You cannot belong to God and not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And so we see that it is imperative that we know whether or not we are in the Spirit, because it defines our position spiritually. Now we may as Christians, even those who are in the Spirit, we can fall into sin and temptation, and when we do. We might say that we might get after the flesh or follow after it. What Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse said, he said, "We are not in the flesh, but the flesh is in us." And so there is that constant war, that constant battle that we find ourselves in. And what Paul actually talks about in chapter 7 of Romans, he talks about that war and how he desires to do the things that God wants him to do, but he finds that he's not doing the things that he wants to, and the things that he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing. And he talks about that war and that battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And so we must understand that the Spirit, it is the power of the Spirit that takes us out of the flesh and puts us positionally right with God. Secondly, He quickens us, or makes us alive. Look at what verses 10 and 11 say. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He quickens us, or makes us alive. Now these two, this point and the one before, deal with the work of the Spirit that takes place when we are born again, when we are saved. And when we are saved, when we come to faith in Christ and the Spirit of God awakens us and regenerates us, He makes us alive. And we see that Paul deals first of all with the need, because he says that the body is dead because of sin. That nature of man is dead because of sin. We are incapable of righteousness. We are completely and totally affected by sin and infected by sin. You know, we talk about this coronavirus and its impact on the body, and how it seems like it's just so strange how different people react differently when they are infected by it. But there is one thing that is true, that all of those who are infected by sin will die. And all of us are infected by sin. We are incapable of righteousness. We are dead. But the Spirit of God makes us alive. He gives life. He brings us to life spiritually. And it is the same power that God awakens, brings to life a dead sinner, is that same power by which He resurrected the Lord Jesus. And we are alive by the Spirit. He makes us alive. You see, church, it is imperative that we know whether or not we are in the Spirit, because it is a matter of life and death. We must know whether or not we are born again. And when we are born again, the Bible tells us that we are put on this process, this journey of sanctification, the work of the Spirit that makes us more and more like Christ. And Paul deals with that in verses 12 and 13. Notice what he says. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. He says there in verse 12, he uses the word therefore. Because of what he has been teaching them about the Spirit, because of the truth that of the work that the Spirit does in us, therefore, we're not debtors to the flesh. Therefore, we do not have to live after the flesh. Therefore, we should not live after the flesh, because the work of the power of the Spirit and His dwelling in us, we are bound by duty not to give ourselves to the flesh, to live after the flesh, because you see, it is inconsistent of the Christian life for us to do that. Because positionally, we are not in the flesh if we are born again. So why then should we live after the flesh if we are not in the flesh? It is inconsistent. It is inconsistent for a person to say that they are born again, but their life be defined by the flesh and the works of the flesh. Completely and totally inconsistent. And so we know that we shouldn't live after the flesh. And if the Spirit is in us, we don't want to either. You know, that's the thing. That's one of the defining marks of a believer that I think that we see in Scripture, is that they desire righteousness. A lost person is not going to desire to be righteous. A lost person is not going to desire to live a life that pleases God. But someone who is born of the Spirit, they desire the things that God desires. They no longer desire the things of the flesh. And so, how is this realized in us? How is the work of sanctification completed and done in us? Well, we see that it is by the Spirit. And we see that Paul also says that if we, at the end of verse 13, he says, "But if ye through the Spirit," there's the key, it's got to be through the Spirit, "do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." We are to mortify the deeds of the body. If we are to experience the sanctifying work of God in our lives, then we must actively be putting to death the sin and the works of the flesh. We are to be putting them to death in our bodies. Now, you and I cannot do this in our own strength. That's why we must yield to the Spirit. We must surrender to Him and allow Him to do that work of removing the sin that does so easily beset us, and to put to death those deeds of the flesh. We must mortify the deeds of the body. That word mortify is a strong word. It literally translated is to put to death. Do you desire that all of those fleshly desires and those things that are of the flesh that are still within you, do you desire that those things would be put to death? Then by the power of the Spirit of God, you can see that accomplished in your life. You can see victory over sin. You can see victory over the flesh. You can see God change and transform you, put to death the deeds of the flesh. And how do we do this? We accomplish the mortification of sin in our lives by repentance through the power of the Spirit of God. Now, I have been teaching our church that repentance is not a one and done for a believer. It is not something that you do at one point in your life and you never do it again. That is not a biblical understanding of repentance. Repentance should be a lifestyle for a Christian, that we are constantly turning from sin and turning to God. That's another missing piece of repentance. We talk a lot about turning away from sin, but we don't do a whole lot of talking about turning to God. When you turn away from something, when I turn away from this wall, I'm inevitably going to be facing this wall. So we need to talk about this truth, that when we turn away from sin, we are also turning to something. Be sure that you are turning to the Lord, not to a hobby, not to something else, not to another sin, not to what you might consider to be a lesser sin, but we are turning from sin and we are turning to God. That is repentance, and that is how we see the mortification of the sin and the deeds of the flesh in our lives. And how can we repent? How do we repent? It's in the power of the Spirit, of being yielded to the Spirit. Because when we are yielded to the Spirit, He starts to show us these things. He starts to reveal all of those things in our lives that do not look like Christ. Through sanctification, He is seeking to conform us to Christ, to make us more like Christ. And so when we're yielded to Him, He starts to show all of those things that don't look like Jesus. And, it makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because God calls us to leave things, perhaps, that have become things that we depend on. Things that perhaps, if we're honest, in the secret places of our heart, it's things that we love. But if we are to see a greater experience, more faithfulness in our life, a greater experience in our Christian life, we must be willing to repent through the power of the Spirit of God. that we would see the mortification of the sin in our lives. It has to be through the power of the Spirit, because Philippians tells us, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and do for His good pleasure." God is at work, causing you to will and to want to do those good things. And so, when we're yielded to God, then we can experience His sanctifying work in our lives. And notice what He says, "If you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Now, this is not a works-based salvation, but it's not a works-based salvation, but it is works that are based on salvation. Okay, you see the difference? It's not a works-based salvation, but He's talking about works that are produced as a result of salvation, and thus proving, giving assurance of your salvation. You shall live. And finally, He says, if we are yielded to the Spirit, then He's going to lead us. You know what is going to see Riverside Baptist Church see the next 90 years of her existence, 90 plus years? It's going to be by you being led by the Spirit of God. You know what's going to see North Canton see her next 99 years, and other faithful churches to see their next 99, 100 years or more? It's being led by the Spirit. And you see how all of these are building on themselves? We must first be taken out of the flesh and made alive, and in the process of being sanctified, we are also being led by the Spirit. And the Spirit leads us in these two ways. Verse 14, He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Two ways the Spirit leads us. First of all, He leads us to be born again. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood." You can't inherit salvation from your parents or your grandparents. You can't inherit salvation, "nor of blood, nor of the will of the flesh." No matter how much you work, no matter how much you do, you could never earn your salvation. "Nor of the will of man, but they are born by God." The Spirit of God regenerates, brings us to life, and causes us to cry out in faith to the Lord Jesus, to repent of our sins and put our faith and our trust in Him. It is the Spirit who leads us to be born again. But He also leads us as faithful children. We will always need Him. And that is why the Spirit says that we are to be led by the Spirit of God. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And that also gives the believer the assurance of your salvation. You know, I talk with a lot of people and talk with a lot of Christians, and one of the things that I hear a lot about is having the assurance of your salvation. And this verse here is one of those verses that we should go to understand assurance. That assurance is not based on an emotion. Assurance is not even based on an emotional experience you had at one point in your life. Assurance is not based on your ability to work and do. It is by this, that you are led by the Spirit of God. And if you're led by the Spirit, then you're His child. And there is your assurance. So what does it look like to be yielded to the Spirit? I want to conclude with this illustration. We've talked about being yielded to the Spirit. When we were teaching Ellis to write, Amanda bought him a book that had all the letters and little drawings beside the letters, you know, A for apple, B for ball, and on and on and on through the alphabet. And what I would do is I would take that little boy's hand and I would put it in mine. And I would write the letters for him using his hand. So long as the hand of the child was surrendered, yielded to the hand of the Father, he could do whatever his Father wanted him to do. You see it? So long as the child's hand is yielded to the Father's, he could do whatever his Father wanted him to. We could sit and fill out that book, and we could write a poem. We could write a newspaper article, a letter to the editor. He could do whatever the Father desired him to, so long as he was yielded. But so often, my fear is that so many Christians get the attitude that my son gets. Because what he does is he wrenches his hand out of mine and he says, "No, Daddy, I do it. I do it." And you know what he does? He makes a mess. So many Christians, so many churches operate on a "No, Daddy, I'll do it" mentality and attitude, and you make a mess. You know what I do? When he reaches his hand out of mine and starts to scribble and draw, he can't trace the lines or fill out anything. I just take his hand and say, "No, son, let Daddy show you." Hear the Spirit of God this morning say to you, if you've been living your life with a "No, God, I'll do it my way" attitude, hear him say, "No, child, let me have your life. Be yielded to me, and me through you, child, I will do wonderful things through your life that you never dreamed would be possible. Things that will be done for the glory of God and that will be remembered long after this world is gone. Things that will be crowns and jewels for you in heaven that you will turn around on judgment day and set at the feet of God who did it all. So will you yield? You know why we have a hard time yielding? We don't like giving up control. But you got to do it. So, 2 points of application. As a Christian, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and all that we have discussed and many more spiritual blessings are true about you. But are you yielded to His will? Warren Wiersbe asked it best. You have the Spirit, but does the Spirit have you? Are you yielded to Him this morning as a child of God? But secondly, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you need to understand that you are not alive spiritually. Your greatest need this morning is to yield to the Spirit of God that He may make you alive in Jesus Christ and bring you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to take you from being lost to being saved, to take you from a child of the devil to a child of God. So do you have the Spirit? Have you been born again this morning? Jesus Christ has come, He has lived, and He died in your place for your sin. And if you, this morning, will turn from your sin and trust this risen Savior, you will be indwelt by the Spirit of God and begin your journey as a Christian filled with the Spirit of God today. Will you yield to Him for salvation? I'll ask Pastor Steve to come and close us out as he sees fit. And I would just ask, church, that if you desire to see the next 90-plus years of Riverside Baptist Church to be even greater than the previous, each and every one of you this morning, yield all of yourself, all that you have, to the Spirit of God today. And if as a Christian, you desire your Christian life going forward to be stronger, to be more in love with Jesus and His Word for missions and for others, yield to the Spirit this morning.
Brother Zach, congregation, two words to describe the message: spot on. Spot on. What a great and clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who are lost and who need Jesus, who need to know that He died for you on that old rugged cross, that He was taken down a dead man, buried in a borrowed tomb, rose on the third day, and lives forever, and will save those who call upon Him. That gospel was presented to you, and for the body of Christ today, those who do know Jesus, a challenge to continuously yield yourself to God. What a great word from God today. Two ways to respond to this. We've not been having invitational responses at the end of services because of social distancing and so forth. But you know, God doesn't need that. God doesn't need anything. And you know, even though we've been banished from normality, and we can't do things like we used to, we can't even go visit in Denton like we used to, we can't do those things like we used to, but you know what? If we're faithful to God, God's the Savior, He'll save them. He's going to do something. We've got to continue to be faithful as a church. So two ways to respond this morning. I'll say to you as I do, if you are a born again child of God, do the things that this man talked about. Yield yourself to God, and it'll be proved out in your life. If you're not, then you can call this man, you can call this man, you can call any born-again child of God and say, help me. I got stirred up because of what I heard, and I know I need to be saved. I need Jesus in my life. And we're not hard to find, folks. There's absolutely no excuse for not finding us, because here we are. So you respond to God faithfully. Amen.